Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, March the 25th, 2024. We hope you're having a good morning, wherever you may be listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Brother Fred.
Hey there, Tim.
Fred Jackson. And, J.J. Jasper, I asked J.J. to stop by the studio this morning. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning.
Hey, before we get into the news of the day, J.J., you had a trip to Iowa this weekend, right?
I was in God's country, Mason City, Iowa, to do stand-up comedy at the North Iowa Area Community College. It was a fundraiser for the North Iowa Christian School. They sold over 900 tickets. They sold tickets at the door, so maybe 1,000 people there. And I love meeting our AFR listeners. And before it started, I was talking to people on the front row. And I probably, after it was over, no kidding, probably talked to 100 people. But
with your mask on or without?
Well, and without a mask. I'm okay. So thankful for okay. that. But I wish I could remember everyone's name, everyone's story. But I always hear so many wonderful things about AFA and AFR. Tammy, I think that was her name, who was a former deputy sheriff, she said she actually got saved listening to AFR and that she knew nothing about the Bible, nothing about Christianity. So she said all of the teaching and preaching programs that we helped disciple her, and she was as sincere as anyone's ever been, saying, thank you, please go back and tell the staff, right. Thank you. And then a young man with a young family, some small kids, he told me how much he appreciated Abraham Hamilton III. But then, of course, Learning University, I heard dozens of people that said, you know, they'd come up and say, here's the deal. And I knew where they were going. Thank you for making me laugh, and we learned things as well. So with our Share-a-thon upcoming April the 9th through the 11th, I feel like when I travel, I get to crisscross the country doing banquets and things. I feel like I get a little preview of Share-a-thon because people say, hey, my mom died. I was at the lowest point in my life. I got comfort listening to AFR. I've learned this. I've been inspired. And so, yeah, I just give a little feedback, Matt and Amber and all the wonderful people there from Mason City, Iowa.
Sounds like a tremendous night and a great fundraiser and good PR for you. Thank you for going to Iowa. I mean, you know, I know that the event was focused on raising money for the school, but you're a good ambassador for us, bro.
Well, thank you for that. And got within a whisker of being stranded there. That'd be a good place to be stranded, but a massive snowstorm coming across that was going to dump us a foot of snow. We drove through snowy roads, ice, to get to the airport.
In late March.
Yeah. And then on the board there, canceled all the flights. So we sat out on the tarmac for an hour and a half while they de-iced all the planes in front of us. Then it got more snow.
Flying out of Minneapolis?
Flying out of Minneapolis. Well, mid-morning is when the snowstorm was supposed to hit. Well, we sat for an hour and a half. But then the visibility started to get almost zero minimums, and then snowflakes the size of nickels coming down, and we just barely got out of there. And then I think you'll probably see on the Weather Channel today, I don't know how much snow they got. But, hey, yeah, again, wonderful weekend in Mason City, Iowa. We love our AFR listeners. Pray for our upcoming Share-a-thon, April the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Hey, I'll tell you, you were in Mason City. One time I've told this story before, but act like you haven't heard it if you've heard it. But I had to drive to Orange City, Iowa, which is in the very northwest corner of the state. And I did the same. I flew into Minneapolis and drove. I wanted to drive because I'd never seen that countryside before. So driving that interstate, I think it's the Minnesota-Iowa line there, but just rich family farms, rich, you know, I say rich, I'm talking about the soil. It was just brown and it was just beautiful. You know, you do like I was ready to see Charles Ingalls. You know what I'm saying?
Little House on the Prairie.
And Laura come running across the field there. But anyway, got to Orange City, Iowa, and I was speaking like you were speaking at an event. And I was the only one there not named Van something.
It was so a lot of Dutch folks.
It was a Dutch community, and everybody was van something or another. So anyway, well, JJ, thanks for doing that event. And if people want to have you come and speak, I know you do stand-up comedy. You also do a more serious talk, so they can read about your what you do. Where can they and schedule you if they'd like to? Where?
Probably the easiest place, jjjasper.com. And you're right, I speak at a lot of pregnancy resource center banquets, wild game dinners. 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'll be in Salina, Kansas, for a pregnancy resource center banquet. So our folks there in Kansas, you're invited to that. One of my favorite things to do is meet and greet AFR listeners and meet you face to face.
Salina, Kansas in 2 weeks?
April the 18th, I think. I don't have the calendar in front of me.
The Farmer's Almanac says a blizzard will be hitting North Kansas exactly that week. So
it's amazing how that works.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah, I'm a snow lightning rod. So where I go, you know, expect a snowstorm.
I'm glad my last name's not Van Vitagliano.
Oh, wow.
That'd be tough to go through life like that.
Put that on a check if you were still writing checks. Van.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, JJ. Appreciate it. All right. JJ Jasper, ladies and gentlemen, the world traveler there, and a great ambassador for our ministry wherever he goes. All right, Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Well, you know, chatting with Ed just before we went on the air, and I think most people probably could agree. How is it that former President Trump takes the stress that he is under? The latest chapter unfolding in New York City, even as we speak. The former president is in New York. He has got two legal cases he has to deal with today. At the moment, he is in a courtroom dealing with a so-called hush money case that was brought against him by prosecutor Alvin Bragg, a Democrat. Now, the hearing today is about delaying the start of the trial in that case. Just a quick reminder, Trump is charged with falsifying business records. Has to do with the prosecutors say he did as part of an effort to protect his 2016 campaign by bearing what Trump says were false stories of extramarital sex. Now, the reason they're in court today for this hearing is that just several days ago, Alvin Bragg's office said, oops, we just found tens of thousands of more documents. This is a case been going on for 2 years. So just days before the trial is supposed to start, they find tens of thousands of documents, but they still wanted to give the Trump team only about 10 days to go through tens of thousands of documents. Trump's team is saying, no. We like to delay this trial for 2 or 3 months so that we can get through all of this. Bragg's office actually saying over the weekend, apparently, there's tens of thousands of documents, but there's only 300 pages or so you might be interested in. Well, maybe they haven't had a chance to get to any of those pages yet. So that's what's happening there this morning. And then, okay, today is the deadline put in place by the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, a Democrat, for Trump to pay the money needed to get a bond. And this, of course, is a totally separate case, this dealing with his alleged fraud and not paying taxes on property.
It's not alleged in the sense that he was convicted by the judge. I'm not saying it. I know what you're saying. It's the witch hunt does apply, yes. But I'm just saying it was a grand jury and then a judge, a very liberal judge, and they did convict him. That's what you call him? Is that a conviction in a civil trial? Is that the proper terminology?
I'm not sure conviction, but he was found liable. I think.
There you go.
Yes, anyway. Found liable. And the figure is astronomical.
Oh yeah.
$454 million.
Right.
The experts that you've been listening to over the last couple of weeks on this, since this penalty was announced, this is unheard of, totally unheard of. Now, there is word that apparently the Trump people would like to say, we'll give you $100 million, because they have to post the bond in order to be able to appeal this ruling. And there's, you know, up to now they're saying we don't have this kind of cash, this kind of cash flow.
And the deadline is tonight at 11:59.
11:59. And there's talk about Letitia James may start seizing property if he doesn't come up with the money. Now, we need to remind people, Letitia James, Attorney General Letitia James, has headed out for Donald Trump even before she was elected.
It was part of her. She ran on that.
She ran on this. Let's have a listen. Go back in time for a little bit. Here's Letitia James running for the office of Attorney General in New York. Here's what she had to say about going after Donald Trump. Cut one.
No one is above the law, including this illegitimate president. And so, I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
I say one name, Donald Trump. That should motivate you.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. He's going to know my name personally.
President Trump cannot avoid justice in the great state of New York.
Yeah. Sounds like she's an election denier.
Yeah. Illegitimate president?
The 2016 mm-hmm. election.
Exactly.
That's a charge that the left always makes
yes.
towards conservatives.
I don't think I've ever in my life heard a candidate for office. In this case, so she won statewide election, right?
Correct. Correct.
I've never heard a candidate for office single out a individual's name as a target while running for office. I mean, that's unheard of.
Well, especially because, as we've mentioned on this show, she wasn't attorney general. She was running for attorney general. So she would not have had access to all the information regarding President Trump and whether or not he was guilty. So she was prejudging him without having had access to all the information, which
that works in New York, I guess.
Yes, it does. Listen, sounds corrupt to
New
me.
New York City is so flaming liberal. It's not the whole state. I know there are a lot of upstate. It's more conservative. You know, you're going to get more conservative. You're going to get even a lot of Republican voters, but just dominated by the millions and millions of people who live in the New York City metropolitan area. And that plays well with them, I guess, the voters. I'm talking about the liberal voters, what she was doing there. But anyway.
But it was so nice on the weekend that we had the expertise of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to weigh in on the Trump case. Cut number three.
Financial pressures that he is under and what he is subject to do in order to obtain those assets. I actually think that there is risk in not seizing these assets and the open window that exists in him trying to secure these funds through other means.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering, what do you mean by that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Greg Jarrett, the legal expert at Fox, had some thoughts on what she had to say. Cut four.
I have no idea what she was saying.
Not really.
I don't
either.
Think she yeah. does. Mm. You know, trying to make sense of anything AOC says is sort of a favorite Washington parlor game. She has this uncanny ability to talk incessantly while saying absolutely nothing. And that is because she is hopelessly uninformed, terminally obtuse, and I think just plain ignorant. This is the same person a week ago said RICO or racketeering is not a crime. You know, no sane person takes AOC seriously, which I suppose is why she's always featured on CNN. Oh.
And Fox.
Somewhat cutting.
Yeah. Oh, featured it, yeah. But she is a media favorite, you know, to quote. She's a quote machine
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's very influential amongst the Democratic Party, especially the younger folks who are on the left. So she gets plenty of airtime. I mean, this is just part of what the media does, since the media is almost exclusively, certainly the legacy media, almost exclusively in the hip pocket of the Democratic Party. So she's going to be on a lot. It's regardless of whether she's informed. She can say what the left wants to hear.
Let me ask you this, Fred. So tonight is the deadline.
11:59 tonight.
For former President Trump to pay how much money?
$454 million, but they say it's actually more than that.
Because the interest?
Because he's been paying over $100,000 a day interest.
Has he paid anything towards that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, is there any, do you know, does he have a, can he appeal to a, is he appealing to the, what can he do is what I'm asking here.
Well, and that's the problem. You have to post the bond in order to appeal. But his lawyers are hoping to appeal to the court to stop what's going on right,
right.
now.
If that's I had the money, okay, this is a catch-22, okay, basically. But you're trying to deal with reality. The reality is, whether you like it or not, the Attorney General of the state of New York has the authority tonight at midnight or whenever it is to start seizing his properties in, I don't know if she has authority outside of the state of New York, in the state of New York to recoup, maybe that's not the right word.
Well, she'd have to start the process of seizing his properties, then those would be sold.
To make him pay the debt.
To make him pay the debt. And my understanding is she can try to seize his properties outside the state, but that there is a separate process by which she has to apply, do something right. legally in those states. I don't think states would try to stop her, but
well,
she
Florida
does
would.
Have to appeal. Huh?
I've read Florida would.
They would try to stop.
You can't go after people's property in Florida from outside the state.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can't. You can't go after their property from outside the state of Florida. So his home there in Mar-a-Lago would be safe.
And part of the problem is if she does, I think she's going to try to, I think personally, I think she'll try right away to seize his property. I don't think she's going to wait any amount of time, 11:59, 12 o'clock, whatever she'll, you know.
All right, let me ask you this. Making the best of a bad scenario, would Trump not be do better to go ahead and pay the money, and then take it on, then appeal the case? Is he going to surrender the right to appeal because he doesn't pay the money?
No, no. Listen, I don't know if he can get the money. Okay, that's a separate issue. But let's say he had the $454 million that he has to post by the end of today. I think he should post it and then go ahead with the appeals process, because if he does not, and Letitia James starts to seize his properties, he can't get those back. Even if he wins the appeal, if she has sold all his property,
right.
I don't think he gets that back.
If he's got the cash, he's got to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
And I read where he said he had $500,000 cash.
Yeah.
Did you read that too?
Yes.
Well, yeah. He's got it, but that would rob him, argument is, of the money he needs to run his campaign. Now, to Ed's point about Letitia James, is she going to start putting up the yellow tape around the assets tonight? One of the other concerns people have raised about her doing that is that, are you going to see
Here we go.
Oh, there you go.
Okay,
this is breaking news according to CNN.
Appeals court rules Trump must pay $175 million bond within 10 days. All right.
Okay, he has reprieve then.
He has. He'll pay that.
Yeah.
He'll pay that.
Yeah. So.
And that's he gets another 10 days.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And the appeals court has lowered the amount that he has to pay.
Yeah.
Probably because.
Substantially.
This is an astronomical amount that has been levied against Donald Trump in a process that's been fairly corrupt.
That had no victims.
Right. And maybe that's part of what the appeal is.
I tell you what, I'd be getting out of New York so fast to make your head spin.
Mm-hmm.
But he would have the same problem at this point. You were right to say when he got elected in 2016 and found out everyone was so hostile,
right.
He should have started the process then. If he tries to get out of New York now and sell, people aren't going to pay full price.
Yes. After he was elected in 2016, he should have moved all his business enterprise to Florida.
Right.
He should have. But he didn't. Probably didn't know it would be this bad.
Right.
I would guess. But once she started, anyway. All right. So the breaking news is that
it's according to CNN.
According to CNN, appeals court rules Trump must pay $175 million bond within 10 days. So he's given 10 more days, and the amount of money is a lot less.
Yeah.
Half or under half,
yep.
Right?
Yes. Under half. Yeah.
Under half. So, yeah, he'll probably pay that, and then he'll go on to appeal to the
yes.
I don't know what court. The Supreme Court of the state of New York, probably?
Well, he could go, I don't know, he could go to that appeals court that just ruled that he has 10 more days and a substantially lowered bond amount.
Yeah.
And then work his way up to the Supreme Court. It depends whether he wants to string this out past the election or not. I don't know.
Yeah. Next story, Fred.
We need a break. We need a senator.
I need a break. It's only Monday.
We need a Senator John Kennedy moment.
Oh, people.
This is a thing.
Stop what you're doing.
Yes.
People, listen to me. Stop what you're doing right now and get ready to listen to this. This is gold.
This All is
right.
Beautiful.
Set it up for us, Fred.
This is a Senate hearing last week on the Democrats, one of the Democrats' favorite topics, climate change. So the Democrats bring in this Olympic skier, Gus Schumacher. They classify him as an expert because he talks about what climate change is doing to recreation industry. Listen, has Senator John Kennedy, my favorite senator from Louisiana, challenged this young man on his climate change expertise. All right, it's going to be cut number 8.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but.
Well, you want us to abolish it, right?
Carbon dioxide is what I see it as, is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what,
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
Or? It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is. How much will it cost for us to become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
If we spent those trillions of dollars and became carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States, which you advocate, how much will it reduce world temperatures?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't know?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money and then see what happens?
That was just part of it. That was just part of the Q&A there, if you can call it that, between Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana and this poor soul who's is he an Olympian, some kind of a
Olympic skier. He's at the Olympics in 2022, I think it was.
Yeah, somebody had the bright idea to prop him up as an expert. At
Democrats?
Yeah, he was invited to discuss as an expert,
right?
What the snow conditions, how the snow conditions have changed over the years.
Yeah, and he said it's changed. He didn't say where, how much, whatever.
And what Senator John Kennedy did, and full disclosure, folks, this is Fred Jackson's favorite senator, okay?
Yes.
He just loves this guy. What Senator Kennedy did is he took a scalpel and cut stem to stern on this guy, and then just with that Louisiana drawl just said, "I'm sorry, young man, your intestines are showing," because he just destroyed this kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a thing.
Yeah, I don't think this young man is going to be showing this video to his grandchildren.
You know.
Watch me.
You
watch
know,
this.
You know he called his parents, all his friends, right, and said, "I'm going to be talking to the U.S. Senate
today.
Check this out on C-SPAN.
All right. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on AFR. Hope you had a nice weekend. I see where severe weather is rolling through the country. Do you guys see this?
Yeah.
I have not.
Yeah. Do you care? Do you care, Ed?
Honestly, only if it's coming my way.
It's all about you, Ed.
I said honestly.
You did say honestly.
If it's something up in the, you know, I do have relatives like in the Northwest or Dallas and, you know, that
kind of thing. I have a good friend who's he's from Mississippi. And he moved to Wisconsin. He graduated with my youngest son, so he's about 30 years old. He's been up there coaching basketball, teaching in Wisconsin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he still doesn't like the cold weather, but it's a job, right?
Right.
they're fixing to get hit with a
blizzard. It's part of the system JJ was talking about a few minutes ago.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. Okay. So I'm looking now at the National Weather Service.
Yeah, to see if it's going to hit you.
Yeah. It looks like it could come, in my direction there.
It's saying like 60-mile-an-hour winds possibly tonight across much of the Mid-South.
Heavy rain.
Oof. So anyway, we'll get a report from Ed tomorrow.
Folks, I hope you understand I'm just kidding.
Yes. You do have compassion.
I do have compassion.
Yes, you do. But Italian compassion.
In terms of checking, I just check like on my app, my local situation. I don't usually go much beyond that.
Right. I understand. Yeah.
So
small world, isn't it, Ed?
And the older I get, the smaller it gets.
All right. One of the programs we have on each afternoon and have for years and years is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, who's president of the Family Research Council. FRC had a press release last week. I wanted to talk about it here. It does affect us here at AFA and AFR as well and other ministries. Tony, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
You in Baton Rouge or D.C.?
I just got back to Baton Rouge. I was up in D.C. this weekend to get back to Baton Rouge, and I'm just sitting here praying for Ed that he would have compassion for all people.
Tony, how's the weather looking in Baton Rouge?
Well, you know how we determine what the weather's going to look like. Mm-hmm. We step outside and we see if we get wet and we come back in, it's raining. if my hair's messed up, the wind's blowing.
I think Louisiana actually does get more rain than any state in America. I think Florida.
We get about 6 feet a year.
Yeah, it's
a little
stunning.
Bit more or less.
Depending on a hurricane, that could double that.
That's right, in a day's time.
All right, Tony, tell us about this press release you guys had last week.
Well, it was the Washington Stand put out an article because the House Committee on the Weaponization of Government released a report that uncovered something that we had anticipated but did not have the evidence of, is that the Treasury Department provided a list of so-called hate groups to banking institutions to comb through their financial transactions. And lo and behold, guess who was on that list? Organizations like the American Family Association, Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council, Heritage, Eagle Forum, because these are groups that have been tagged by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So this list was sent over to the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes and Enforcement Network, sent this over to banks to comb through. These are some of the largest financial institutions in the world, to comb through their expenditures to see if, and this was post January the 6th, to see if they were buying things. And this is the one that we've heard about, this list, where if there were any transactions including religious materials, including Bibles, or, you know, if Bass Pro buying ammunition or weapons. This is what our government was doing.
When were they doing this?
Well, this happened after January the 6th. This is kind of a part of the deep state operation. And it was cut off. It suggested it's not currently happening. But there, in talking with some members of Congress, there's efforts afoot to try to limit the ability of the Treasury Department to go in and get this type of information. I mean, this is private information. I mean, nothing, not like we have anything to hide, but that doesn't matter. This also could lead, Tim, this is why this is of concern. We've seen conservative organizations being debanked. We've dealt with that. And this,
yeah, we
only
have too, by the way,
fuel.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, this just provides fuel for the fire, where these institutions can say, well, we got this list from the Treasury Department and they were tracking these groups. We don't want to be tied up with that in any form or fashion. So this is very, very, very dangerous.
Yeah. So folks, again, just Tony simplified it, but I'll just say this. What we have here, it was uncovered by the Republicans in the House of Representatives that post January 6th, the United States Treasury Department, which is mammoth, right, and they have a lot of power and control, they were using a list of organizations, and we were on there, FRC was on there, as Tony said, and others. They were solely conservative organizations that they got the names from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a group in Montgomery, Alabama, but they've been around forever. And what they do is they put out a hate group list. They decide what's a hate group. And then it was adopted. This list was adopted by the United States Treasury Department and then sent out to banks across America to say, look out for these groups because they're hate groups. Well, number one, we're not a hate group. Number two, but who gets to decide what a hate group is? And number three, I've got many more numbers, but I can go as high as three.
Don't take your shoes off.
Oh, that hurts, Tony, from a guy from Louisiana, talking down to your southern brother like that. But the other thing is here, here we have the Treasury Department, a federal government agency, farming out a definition of hate to a private organization that's politically motivated, and they're far left.
Right.
So they're the ones who get to, SPLC gets to decide. And I guess if you were to challenge the people at the Treasury Department who did this, they would say, well, these are hate groups provided to us by the SPLC. Well, something so serious, you don't need to be farming it out, the definition. You need to do your own research so that you can defend your position. You see what I'm saying here? Not that it's legitimate anyway. But go ahead. Do you want to comment on that? Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I was just going to, I mean, this is like a massive fishing expedition, just looking for something. Now, normally you have a crime, then you, I speak as a former police officer, so you have a crime, then you go back and look for the evidence that would support that crime. So what they're doing here is trying to make a crime out of these organizations, looking for any transaction that would look suspicious so that they could go back and see if they were connected to January 6th. Well, I mean, look, I was in the Secretary of State's office with the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, when January 6th occurred. I was in there, by the way, for the record, with a group of pastors praying for the Secretary of State, praying for the nation. And, you know, this is, I know when we don't have anything to hide, we don't really care that much about it. I mean, I'm an open book, but we have fundamental freedoms and rights in this country, and this is a breach of that. For the government to go combing through your personal, let's say organizational financial transactions to look for, try to build a case. And we're seeing how they're using this January 6th. They're still arresting people when, in the summer of 2020, people burned down cities and they haven't touched them. I mean, this is a breach of law and justice and order.
I'll tell you what.
They are trying to make something out of this.
We have been impacted some over the years, not to a debilitating situation, not by any means. But we had the Discover card. They canceled us.
Right. And
overnight donations. They just stopped processing donations, and I've forgotten what they even said the reason was, but they were certainly going on the SPLC's.
Because they're communists.
Right.
Well,
I don't think they
did. They put us back on. I don't even know. Okay. Anyway, then overnight, this happened about 2 years ago. There was a company named Stripe that was doing credit card processing some for us. They're a big company. They cut us off overnight. They cut us off overnight. And so that caused us some consternation. And we were able to find a Christian-based company to be able to process our credit cards, thank God. And we're okay now. But I'm just saying, if it's up to these hardcore leftists in our country, if they get control of the levers of power, they will try to shut you down. That's the bottom line. Yeah. And so that's why when people say, I don't really pay attention to politics, okay? Listen, I get it, okay? It gets tiring. Tony knows this. He lives it every day in Washington, D.C. You get weary, and the bad guys win too much. But we can't stop trying to get the right people elected, especially to the House of Representatives and the Senate and the White House, because if we don't have any resistance in D.C., Tony, then it's going to really get ugly. Go ahead.
Well, to your point, we wouldn't know this information,
right,
if the Republicans did not have control of the House and created this committee to look at the weaponization of the federal government. So we wouldn't even know this, and it would continue on, because if you don't pull back the curtain and expose it, it will continue. The deep state will continue. So it's important, I've heard, especially with what occurred last week with the appropriations bill that was bad, had a lot of bad stuff in it. But you have to realize all that originated in the Senate, where you have the Democrats in control, and the House had very few options other than shutting government down or preserving some element of conservative policies in the current law, or losing all of it. And if we just throw in the towel or wave a white flag, if you will,
we lose our freedoms.
We will. We absolutely will, because you see every now and then you get a glimpse of stuff like this and how the Treasury Department going after conservative organizations, and don't think it stops with organizations. They go to individuals.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that once it's exposed, they'll back off. But if it's not exposed, they'll continue.
Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, president of the Family Research Council, and heard each afternoon here on American Family Radio with the program Washington Watch from 4 to 5 o'clock Central. You hear Tony each afternoon here on AFR. All right, Tony, take care. Thank you, and safe weather.
All right, yes. I'm praying for Ed's house.
Thank you.
This storm.
It's a very great concern of mine, Tony. I appreciate that.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you, Tony.
One of the things that, amongst all the dangers that you and Tony were discussing, here's something. If I was over a major bank and got this list from the federal government, I would look at it and I would say, listen, I don't want to deal with these people at all. I mean, I wouldn't even try to work with them and find out this or that. I would just say, hands off, cut them out. And then they would never tell the organizations that have been debanked what their reasons were. They would just make sure they're not in the mix of getting going back and forth with hate groups, quote unquote.
Yeah. Let me also say this, and Ed, you've stressed this a lot. One of the best responses, folks, we can make to this kind of pressure from the political left, the far left, the liberals in this country, is to shop local as much as possible, or at least with companies that aren't, quote, woke. All right? So in this case, you do better to do your banking with at least a regional company, if not a local bank, because then you see these big international banks, they're more subject to the pressure of the left to debank people.
And they're impervious to criticism.
Right.
You might criticize them and post something on Facebook and say, this bank, this major bank, debanked our organization, but they don't care. They're so large, these banks. If you get a small bank, local bank, or as you said, maybe a regional bank, they're a little more susceptible to
pressure. And they're people like you.
Yes.
You know them.
Right.
And they have values like you do, but for the most part.
Yeah.
So I would say, shop local as much as you possibly can. Support your local and not the big corporations. Right. Listen, I go to Walmart every once in a while too. You know, we all have to, we all do that. I'm not saying that you can avoid things like that altogether, but I'm saying as much as you possibly can, shop local, go local, do business with local merchants and people you know. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed, you want to tell folks how they can join us on the internet, and then Fred will have us another story.
Absolutely. If you'd like to watch the live video stream of this show and other shows on American Family Radio, for this show, you can watch the live video stream on our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, or you can go to Facebook, search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube, search for Today's Issues Live. Or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and look for American Family Radio. And then you can catch the live video stream of a lot of our programs. We do encourage you to also download the AFR app on your phone or other portable device, and you can hear American Family Radio programming wherever you have a good, strong signal.
Have there been any Cinderella stories in March Madness, or do you guys even keep up with that?
I don't. I just have time for hockey, and that's it.
Yeah, and weather.
And local weather, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, listen, breaking news. I'm being serious here. Breaking news is what, Fred?
Well, the breaking news is that the appellate division of the Supreme Court of the state of New York ruled just about an hour ago that former President Trump, and this is the real estate fraud case in New York, that instead of having to pay $64 million by midnight tonight, they have lowered the price of getting that bond down to $175 million. We talk about these numbers.
That would be pushing it for me, but I could probably manage that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the visa limit would be exercised.
Yeah.
Now,
and he has 10 more days to pay it.
10 more days to pay it. So my guess is he'll come up with 175. But listen, guys, I've been reading other parts of this order that came out this morning, and I want you to...
The one you're just talking about?
Yes, there are other parts to this, the so-called fine print. Fellow defendants in this case include Alan Weiselberg and Jeffrey McConney, along with Trump's sons. There are other parts that affect them, and it's really important to have a listen to this, folks. This order permanently barring defendants Weiselberg and McConney from serving in the financial control function of any New York corporation or similar businesses entity. Another barring defendants Donald J. Trump, Weiselberg, and McConney from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation for 3 years. Barring defendant Donald Trump and the corporate defendants from applying for loans from New York financial institutions for 3 years and barring defendants Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation in New York for 2 years.
I think originally, too, and I haven't had a chance to check out, that was in the appeals court ruling. But in the original case or ruling, I think that Trump, all of his businesses are on probation. They have to report every so often everything they're doing to that judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying his sons have been prohibited from being an officer in a company operating in New York for 2 years? Is that basically what you're saying?
Yes, for 2 years.
Huh. I wonder what that means for them having to do with the Trump Organization in the state of New York. They have to leave?
They've got to be out of it. They cannot be involved.
Wow. I wonder how that's going to work. Who is going to be in charge, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if he's found guilty, I mean, on the appeals, then that's it. Mm-hmm. His talking about Trump and his whole family.
Yeah.
They'll be kicked out. They would basically be kicked out of New York.
Yes.
So, but that's pretty serious stuff right there for 2 and 3 years to be banned. What does it say something about President Trump himself?
Yes, it does. Barring defendant Donald J. Trump and the corporate defendants from applying for loans from New York financial institutions for 3 years. And barring defendants Donald Trump, Weisselberg, and McConney from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation for 3 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see if President Trump has a react. Well, he will have a reaction, but he hasn't yet, right?
But we have to keep reminding people, this was a case of no victims. This was a case they couldn't bring in the banks for what, you know, they were evaluating properties. The banks said what Trump, the organization, did was perfectly fine. It's what corporations do all the time when they're applying for loans. The bank said we were good with this. No crime has been committed here normally.
That's the reason it was a civil case.
Yes.
And not a criminal case.
Yes.
I want to know the answer to this question once and for all. Maybe I've asked Jenna Ellis. She's a constitutional attorney. Could Trump have gotten a jury trial in the business fraud case in New York or not?
Well, my understanding is there is a box.
Be careful. That's a pretty...
Yes.
When you say my understanding is, that's... Fill in the blank. Go ahead.
That there isn't this the one where there's a box that his attorney could have checked off that says we could or do request a jury trial. And my understanding is the attorney forgot to check that box.
Yeah.
That's what Jenna told us last week. Yeah. They didn't check that box.
And so they no longer had that option.
Okay. As a non-lawyer, can I make a comment about that?
Yeah.
Three words. That is dumb. But I say that being ignorant myself of the positives or negatives of that, I'm just saying, just looking at it for what it's for at face value.
Right.
Would you not want a jury trial for something so serious instead of leaving your livelihood in the hands of one judge? Who is a flaming liberal
and who clearly,
and you had to know that before Trump. But you had to know that before you went into trial. I'm having a hard time buying that it was a mistake. That is a mistake of monumental proportions that you even, if you make a mistake like that, you even go back to the, whoever you're saying, hey, I misread that. I'm sorry. We meant to check jury trial. It was a misunderstanding or a mistake I made. You see what I'm saying?
But what other explanation could there be? I mean, surely, I mean, I would think you would at least want the option of having a jury trial. If checking the box means you have that option, but not checking it means you don't have that option. What else?
But a clerical mistake on the part of an attorney that's getting paid millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Is that what you telling me that's what?
I don't know. What else? That's what Jenna said. What else could it be? Why would Trump and his attorneys want to go before this judge, Arthur Engoron, if you have a jury trial, all you have to convince is a certain percentage down in a criminal case. You have to get a unanimous verdict one way or the other, or at least a unanimous guilty verdict. But if you have a civil trial, I don't know what the percentage is in New York, but all you have to do is convince a handful of jurists or jury members that you're not guilty.
Plus the amount of money would not been near what I don't think. So I don't know. The reason I say I would like to know the final answer on this, I've heard some other people say in New York you can't do that, can't have a jury trial or a civil case like that. I don't know, but we'll ask Jenna again. Get her on record.
Get her on record. Tell her she's got to check a box off.
She's gonna. Yeah, check them.
Yes. And if she does it, we'll assume.
Checks all the boxes.
That's right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Riley, who works here at AFR, he's in Israel, and he's been there for a few days now, maybe a week, doing a lot of wonderful reporting. He's going to join us live from Israel after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.